now I'm excited to hear another message from God's Word. Brother Bruce, I've enjoyed your message this week. To be honest with you, it's been unlike anything I've ever heard. Your style is very unique, and we've seen this week that it's not in the style, but it's in the message. The Word of God preached in any style, if it's focused on the gospel, God will bless it, God will honor it, God will use it. So I'm excited to hear you tonight, brother. You come on and preach for us.
Thank you, brother. Bless you, preacher. Well, you know, my friend Dolphus Price said if a dog barked the gospel, somebody could get saved. Amen? So, that's a good thing. Well, it's good to be with you. I went to the pastor's house, and his wife cooked us dinner, and I'm telling you, if I didn't have to preach tonight, I would have eaten a lot more. It was so good, man. I'm still tasting it in my mouth. If I fall asleep while I'm preaching, you'll know why, all right? No, it was delicious. Thank you so much. I thought that I would start out and just have a little fun with you. Is that okay? I didn't even ask the pastor. Thank you, dear lady. I didn't ask his permission to do this, but I do some voices and stuff and some old country singers. That'd be okay, brother. This is just for fun. That had nothing to do with the message or anything like that. Basically what happened, my brother and I went to a college way out in Wisconsin. They were having a spirit week, and they wanted us to do some fun time and stuff. So my brother got this idea. He said, you know, Bruce, he said, you did shows with all those country music stars, and I can mimic people. If I listen to them long enough, I can kind of sound just like them. And so he said, why don't we do some of those voices? Maybe their music wouldn't change right off, but maybe they changed the words to their songs. So I'm going to try to do three voices for you starting out here. The first one's going to be Johnny Cash. The second one's going to be Randy Travis. And the third one's going to be Willie Nelson. All right? Now, this was before, when we did this, it was before Johnny Cash passed away, and he made a profession of faith before he died. Praise the Lord. And this was before Randy Travis made a profession of faith as well. And then Willie Nelson's on my everyday prayer list. I've been praying for him since I've been saved. And so maybe they'd have sounded a little bit like this. And as a disclaimer, I don't listen to country music anymore, so I'm doing these by memory. It's been a long time since I've heard their voices, so I'll do them the best I can. Maybe Johnny would have sounded something like this.
I know the Lord is coming, he's coming back again. He's coming for his children, I know I'm one of them, and I'll keep working for my Savior until he takes me home. I'll keep working for my Savior until he takes me home.
And then there was Randy. He's hard to do. I have to put my teeth together to make him work right.
I'm gonna live now forever in heaven together with him. I'm gonna serve him forever and ever, amen.
And then Willie. I can do some more. Let me do a couple more for you. Now, as far as my favorite country singer was Merle Haggard. I always thought he had a really, really smooth voice. This was Merle Haggard's voice.
If we make it through December.
And then there was a guy, and most of the time you think of your country music stars, they got the big cowboy hats, they're good looking. But there was a guy named John Conley, and he was a little fat fella. He was a mortician and got a record deal. He was kind of weird. But anyway, this was his voice.
I don't know why I keep on believing.
And he made millions of dollars singing just like that. Go figure. But anyway, well, I won't do any more. Well, I could do George Jones. No, he ain't going to show up. No, I'm just kidding. That's why they called him No Show Jones. Bless his heart. Let's see.
He stopped loving her today.
Well, we better stop right there. Anyway, hey, I did want to teach the young ones a song tonight, and the not so young, but young at heart. All right, so I want everybody to participate in this, okay? Because I can't sing the song and do the motions at the same time. So I'm going to teach you the motions, and as I sing, you'll do them with me, all right? This is called Zip It, Lock It, and Put It in Your Pocket. Now, my brother wrote this song with his grandson, because his grandson said that to him. He said, Papa, you just need to zip it and lock it and put it in your pocket, talking about the tongue. And so Sammy said, where'd you hear that, London? He said, at school. And so they wrote this little song called Zip It, Lock It, and Put It in Your Pocket. And it goes like this. All right, you ready? You're going to zip your lip, right? Zip it, lock it, put it in your pocket. Watch the words you say. Your tongue is like a tattletale, and it gives your heart away. Zip it, lock it, put it in your pocket. Count to 10 and pray. Control that tongue like you're pulling back on the reins of a horse. Control that tongue or you may have to eat the words you say. All right. Now, I'm watching the ones that aren't doing it. I'm going to get you to come up here and do it with me. You better start doing it with me, all right? All right. We got some slackers out there. Preacher, it's just hard to get people to participate sometimes. All right, let's try it again. Zip it, lock it, put it in your pocket. Watch the words you say. Your tongue is like a tattletale, and it gives your heart away. Then zip it, lock it, put it in your pocket. Count to 10 and pray. Control that tongue, or you may have to eat the words you say. All right, I think you got it. I'll sing the song, you do the motions, and we'll see if we can get this right. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words won't hurt, they say. I must confess I disagree, I'll tell you why today. One day in school, a friend of mine was sad, I asked him why. A bully called him ugly names, and I saw my buddy cry. Ready? Zip it, lock it, put it in your pocket. Watch the words you say. Your tongue is like a tattletale, and it gives your heart away. Very good. Zip it, lock it, put it in your pocket. Count to 10 and pray. Control that tongue, or you may have to eat the words you say. Behind those ivory teeth, your tongue can cut just like a sword. Sometimes we hurt the ones we love and wound them with our words. Amazing how a thing so small can cause such hurt and pain. I know why now my Bible says the tongue no man can tame. Here we go again, you ready? Zip it, lock it, put it in your pocket. Watch the words you say. Your tongue is like a tattletale and it gives your heart away. Zip it, lock it, put it in your pocket. Count to 10 and pray. Control that tongue or you may have to eat the words you say. All right. You know what? We've got some kids that are doing really good. Y'all want to come up here and do it with me so everybody can watch you? Come on. Yeah, come on up here with us. The Lord hears every word we say as we work and play. Keep your heart clean every day and read God's word and pray. Here we go. You ready? Zip it, lock it, put it in your pocket. Watch the words you say. Your tongue is like a tattletale and it gives your heart away. Zip it, lock it, put it in your pocket. Count to 10 and pray. Control that tongue or you may have to eat the words you say. All right, let's do it. How fast you think we can do it? You ready? Zip it, lock it, put it in your pocket. Watch the words you say. Your tongue is like a tattletale and it gives your heart away. Zip it, lock it, put it in your pocket. Count to 10 and pray. Control that tongue or you may have to eat the words you say. All right, how about a hand for them? They did great. Thank y'all very much. You did good. Oh, that's a fun thing to do, isn't it? Oh, me, that is great. Not only did they learn the motions, they learned the words to the song really, really quick. You know, thank the Lord for a young mind. You know, I don't know if you're like me, but I can walk into a room and go, what did I come in here for? Are you with me on that? I heard about a fella, and his neighbor was having trouble with his memory, so he started taking a memory course. And so he went over to check on his neighbor, see how he's doing. He said, "Hey, Bob," he said, "how's that memory course working for you?" He said, "Oh, it's wonderful. They teach you association. I remember names and dates like never before. It's just great. It's really good." And his neighbor said, "You know, I'm thinking maybe I need to take that course." He said, "What's the name of it?" "Man. Now, no, wait a minute now. They're teaching me. All I have to do is associate it, and I can figure this out." He said, "You know that flower? It's got red petals. It's got green leaves and thorns on it." And his neighbor looked at him and said, "Are you talking about a rose?" He said, "That's it. Hey, Rose, what's the name of that course I'm taking, honey?" So there you have it, all right. Well, it's good to hear you laugh, and thank you for coming out tonight. And I'm going to be doing a message tonight. It's kind of serious, but at the same time, you know, I wanted to prepare your hearts for this. Growing up as a little boy, my dad and I didn't get along, and I told you, though, I think yesterday morning, that I got to lead my dad to Christ, 87 years old. He's going to be 90 in May. But there was a time when my dad and I we really didn't get along very good. Matter of fact, we were talking about it the other day, and he said, "We didn't like each other very much, did we?" And I said, "No, Dad, we sure didn't." But you know, isn't it neat how God can change things? And so I'm going to be sharing some of that. So if you'll open your Bibles with me tonight to Ephesians chapter 4, and once you get there, I'm going to sing another quick song just to prepare our hearts a little bit, and then I'll sing another song after that. Let's see, where is it? Yeah, there we go. Ephesians chapter 4, yeah. The second song that I wrote, the first song I wrote when I got saved was the song "That Was Me" that I sang in my testimony yesterday morning. And the second song that I wrote, I was so glad to be saved, so thankful, and I'm still thankful to be saved, that I wrote a song called "Thank You, Lord." Now, I had never heard the other "Thank You, Lord" song, you know, "Thank You, Lord, for giving to me." I never even heard that song when I wrote this, but so this was just coming out of a heart of thankfulness for being saved. Thank you, Lord, for giving me peace, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for changing my life, for taking control. I will love you with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my might. Trials that you send, I will love you with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my might. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for bearing the cross, for giving my sin. The promise you made, you're coming again. I will love you with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my might. Thank you, thank you, Lord. I will love you with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my might. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, thank God that we can come, and you know, we can't make revival happen. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. You know, Billy Sunday was asked this question one time, "Brother Billy, does revival really last?" And this was his answer: "Not really. But neither does a bath, but I like to have one every now and again." Amen? And you know what? I would love to see revival break out, especially in America. America needs God. America needs the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel. And so I want to bring you a message tonight entitled "The Battle of Bitterness." Because people who are angry and bitter are never going to have revival in their hearts and lives until they deal with it biblically like God wants them to deal with it. We're going to talk about that tonight. So if you found your way in Ephesians chapter 4, would you stand with me if you're able to stand? Starting in verse 26, the Bible says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I pray that you'll bless the reading of your word and the preaching of this message. And dear God, I pray, as always, by chance, if there's anybody in church but they're not in Christ, may today, tonight, would you open their eyes to the truth of your word and bring them to the knowledge of the truth so that they could accept the truth and receive you as Lord of their heart before it's eternally too late. For those of us that know you, Lord, help us to examine ourselves and make sure that we're not angry or bitter towards anybody. Lord, you want us to love people, and it's hard to love people you're mad at. And so, Father, I pray that you would use this message. Help me to be careful in how I deliver it, and I pray that you would use it in each and every heart and life. In Jesus' precious name I pray, amen and amen. You may be seated, and I appreciate you standing. You know, we all struggle with forgiveness sometimes, and I think a lot of times we do that is because there's a root of bitterness that's never been taken care of. Unforgiveness in your heart towards others is sin. Can I say that again? Unforgiveness in your heart towards others is sin. Somebody made this statement, and I used it in a song that a guy in Canada wrote had a gospel track, and he wrote a poem called Choices. And I recorded that, put some music to it and recorded it, and I added this in the chorus. But I don't know who said this, but it was just a neat saying. You are free to make choices, but you are not free from the choices you make. Every choice you make is going to have a consequence for either good or bad. Jim Wilson made this statement. He said, "Guilt is what we feel when we sin. Bitterness is what we feel when others sin against us." And so some people say, "Well, you know, yeah, I got mad at them. They did this to me, or they hurt me in this way, but I buried the hatchet." And the sad thing about it is they bury the hatchet, but they leave the handle in, and they bury it again and again and again and again, and they never truly get over it. Now, growing up as a little boy, I'm going to be careful here, but my dad and I, we were like magnets. We just rubbed each other the wrong way. If we were in the same room together, it was just not a good day. It came to the point where it got so bad, my mother would let me sleep in the morning until my dad left and went to work, and then she would wake me up and get me ready to go to school because it just got hard. We just couldn't be around each other. And it got so bad when I was 17 years old, I left home. I said, "I'm not going to put up with this anymore. I'm not going to stay here anymore." And I left home, and that's what happened to me. I got in with the wrong crowd, started doing the wrong things and stuff. I wish I could have went back and just obeyed my mom and dad like I should have growing up, but I was a rebel. And so part of it was my fault. Part of it, you know, there's always two sides to every story. But the thing about it is, though, I was the middle boy. Do we have any middle children in here? Any middle kids? Yeah. Well, sometimes when you're the middle child, it seems like when everything goes wrong, it always falls on your lot. And the sad thing about it is, the reason it happened to me is because I was not a smart kid. My dad would tell me to do one thing, and I would do the opposite, you know. So I brought a lot of my hurt and stuff on myself some of the times, but every now and then, I would do right and still get in trouble for it. That ever happened to you? Well, one day, I was sitting in my bed. I was reading a comic book, being a good kid for one time in my life. My two brothers were in the bathtub. They were splashing and making all kinds of rackets, you know. All of a sudden, this booming voice out of the back bedroom, my daddy, said, "Bruce, if I had to come in there, boy." And I thought, "I'm not doing anything this time," you know. But since it was me most of the time anyway, I just said, "Okay, Dad." Next thing I saw was two wet heads in my doorway saying, "Thank you, brother." And I said, don't worry about it. But when my brothers left my presence, the tears started to come, and the anger and the bitterness in my heart started to grow against my dad. And it got worse, and it got worse, and it got worse until I finally left home when I was 17 years old. And for 3 or 4 years, I didn't even speak to my dad. He didn't speak to me. It was a bad, hard time. And so what happened was, because of that, I had a boiling fire raging in my bosom. And sometimes I was like a light bulb. I'd just go off on you. I mean, I was bad. If you pull out in front of me on the highway, you've had a bad day. The horn's going to be sounding. The wind is coming down. The cursing, the screaming, the yelling. I had road rage so bad because I had all this anger and all this bitterness and all this stuff built up inside of me. And sometimes I would just explode. You know anybody like that? You know, it happens when you have this going on in your heart and you never take care of it the way God wants you to take care of it. But this is what God did for me even before I got saved. I started thinking about my relationship with my dad, and I hated it. I hated the fact that when Christmas time came, I would go home for Christmas, and right when I'd walk in the door, my dad would go back in the bedroom and shut the door until I left. And so I said, well, I'm not coming home anymore for Christmas. And so my mom and my brothers would come to wherever I was living. We'd try to have some kind of Christmas. It was just not a good holiday back in those days. It was kind of tough. But then I was riding down the road one day, and I was thinking about my dad and our relationship, and I just hated it so bad. And I thought to myself, you know what? If something happens to him, or something happens to me, and we don't get this thing worked out, one of us is going to feel really bad. And I didn't want it to be me. So I sat down, and I didn't write my dad a long letter, just a little paragraph. And this is what I said. I said, Dad, I don't expect a phone call. I don't expect a letter back from you. I don't expect anything. I just want you to know that I love you, Dad. And I signed my name, and I sent my daddy that letter. And obviously, he got that letter and read that letter, because the next time I saw my daddy on the street, he said hello to me. That was a big day for me. My daddy said hello to me. And the next time I saw him, he said, son, why don't you come by the house sometime, have some lunch with us? I said, okay. And so I started going by, and a healing process started. Why? Because I took the first step. When you have two people and they have a problem with each other, somebody's going to have to take the first step. I'm glad that I did. And so as that healing process started taking place, you know, all the things that had happened up to that point, you know, I had, even before I knew the Lord, I had forgiven my dad for all the things that had happened when I was a kid. And so I was in Nashville, Tennessee, riding down the road. I was about an hour from the apartment where I got saved. And I was about a mile from the apartment where I got saved, and I started thinking about how I wrote the letter, sent it to my dad. He got it and read it, and everything turned out great. And then I started getting an idea for a song called Between a Father and a Son. And so I started writing it on a napkin. I remember sitting at the stoplight there on Nolensville Road, Pastor, right just a mile from my apartment there, and I was weeping and I was crying. I was trying to write the words. And then I got to my apartment, ran in there, and I wrote this song, and I played it for a friend of mine, and they said, wow, wouldn't it have been bad if the letter would have not gotten there on time and something would have happened to your dad? I went, yeah. So I changed the song around as if the letter didn't get there on time and the dad died. Now, the first time my dad heard this song, he said, wow, boy, you write a song about me and kill me off in it. What'd you do that for? I said, I'm sorry, Dad. I was just trying to make the song have a little more impact. And then after I got saved, I added a verse to the end of it, and you'll understand that when you sing it. But if my dad was standing here beside me, you would know that he's my daddy, because we look just alike. As a matter of fact, my dad was a big hunter, and he had dogs and birds and all this stuff, hunting gear, and he had a guy that he got all that stuff from. He called him his dog man. And I went by to see my dad one day, and I said, Dad, where are you going? He said, I'm going to see my dog man. I said, let me ride with you. I want to meet this guy. I've heard about him all my life. And so we went over there, and I got out of one side of the truck. My dad got out of the other side, and that man looked at me and looked at my dad, and he said, Sam, you're going to have to claim that puppy. He looks just like you. So they even talk in dog terms. But this is the song I wrote. It's called Between a Father and a Son. Mama said that we were just alike in every way, and I favored him more with each passing day. It took years later, many tears to find,
closest distance between us was his heart and mine. But I was a rebel, my heart filled with rage. So I left my family at an early age. I was too young to know just what I had lost and to realize my stubbornness had cost the love between a father and a son. Is not always given, sometimes it must be earned. Even though it takes a while for some of us to learn, you can't deny the love between a father and a son. So I wrote a letter filled with things I couldn't say. I wanted him to know I cared before it was too late. And my mailman came daily, but I chose to wait. For he deserved to hear these words from me face to face. And on a cold December morning, kneeling by his grave, clutching this unopened letter, and wishing he could hear me say, the love between a father and a son shone on Calvary's hill when God gave his begotten one. And if you put your trust in him, that's when you'll finally learn. You can't deny the love between a father and a son. You can't deny true love between the father the Son. Amen. Well, tonight I want to share with you three problems as a result of bitterness in the heart. Problem number one, if you have bitterness or any unconfessed sin in your life, you're going to have no peace at all. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now the Bible also says in Romans 12:1, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, sometimes you can try to get along with people best you can. Sometimes it doesn't work, and God tells you to do the best you can. If it doesn't happen, then you know you have to go your own way. You can't always make people do what you want them to do. God has to get a hold of their heart. So, number one, you get no peace at all. Number two, you get no prayers answered. Do you realize some people say, well, God answers all prayers? No, he does not either. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The Lord will not hear me. That word regard in the Latin language, I learned this when my son was taking Latin when he was in the third grade, but that word regard in the Latin language is spelled video, but it's not pronounced like that. In the Latin language, it's spelled video, because all your V's are W's in the Latin language. And so basically what happens, if you have a problem with somebody, if they've done you wrong or said something about you or hurt you in some kind of way, when you think about that person, a video starts to play in your mind, and then a fire starts to burn in your heart. And that's what happens. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." You know, David, a man after God's own heart, for almost a year was separated from God. Now, he didn't lose his salvation, but he lost his joy. The Bible says in Psalm 51, he said, "Return unto me the joy of thy salvation." Because as he was in that sin with Bathsheba and all that stuff was going on, he had no peace at all. He had no joy. And the Bible says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And if you have no joy, you have no strength. And when you have bitterness of heart, that really messes you up. Number one, you get no peace at all. Number two, you get no prayers answered. And number three, you give place to the devil. Look back at your Bibles here in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26. It says, "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." Now that phrase, give place, in the Greek is topos. It means topography. It means to give ground. You see, when you get saved, the devil can't do anything to you unless you open the door and invite him in. And when you have unconfessed sin in your life, especially, I believe, the sin of bitterness, what you do is you open the door, allow him to come in, and he wants to get in and get a stronghold. You know, the devil hates you. The devil hates your children. The devil hates all of us, especially if you name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a target on your back, and he wants to destroy your life. You know, Satan can't take anything, but we can give him ground. And he will cause you to believe a lie so you can justify your sin. James chapter 4 and verse 14, James chapter 4 and verse 17 says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." You know, when Jesus Christ was on the mountain, he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He was tired in his human form. He was hungry. He was thirsty. And what did the devil do? He came after him and he said, "I know you're hungry. Why don't you turn, make that rock into some bread?" What did Jesus say? "No, I'm not going to do that." No, he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God." He quoted Scripture. Then the devil came at him again. And Jesus said, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Then he came at him again. He said, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And the Bible says the devil fled for a season. He's always going to come back. But if we want to get the devil to leave us alone, what do we have? We have the Word of God. And if you're not memorizing Scripture, you don't have any ammunition. You may have a gun on you, but you don't have any bullets in it if you don't have the Word of God. That's why God says in His Word, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." And the more of God's word you have in your heart and in your mind, when the devil attacks you, you can use the word to get him to flee from you. What an amazing thought. That is the power of the Word of God. I'll give you an illustration here. When I first got married, and I know we have some people in here that are married, maybe been married in a while. Let me ask you this question. You ever had an argument with your mate or a discussion, a heated discussion? Did that ever happen in your home? All right, we all have, most of us. I heard this one guy, he said, "My wife and I have been married 72 years, and we ain't never argued." And I said, "Are you kidding me?" He said, "Yeah, I just don't say nothing." Early in my marriage, my wife and I were having one of these kind of heated discussions. And I'll never forget, she was sitting on the couch, and I was standing kind of hoarding over, you know, and I was trying to make my point across, and I was upset. And finally, I just got to the point, I got frustrated, and I said, "Forget it. I'm going to bed." And I went back in the bedroom and got on my knees to pray, and guess what? I couldn't pray. I wanted to. And I don't hear bells ringing or voices in my head, but that still small voice of the Holy Spirit said, "You need to go in there and tell her you're sorry and ask her to forgive you." And I said, "No, I don't either, God. She needs to come in here and tell me she's sorry. She started this thing. It's her fault. And I'm starting to have this argument with God." Have you ever done that? Oh, man, you're not going to win an argument with God. And I realized I wasn't going to get any peace. My prayers weren't going to get answered, and I was giving place to the devil. You see, when you give place to the devil, it's like your life is a pizza pie. And when you open the door, he takes a slice of that pie. But he doesn't just want a slice. He wants to eat the whole pizza. He wants to get in there and just mess you all up. And I remember I got off my knees. I made things right with God, and I went in there to make things right with my wife. You see, when you get right with God, it's like this. You get right with people, it's like this, and it always forms a cross. And all the ground is level at the foot of the cross. And I went in there and I said, "Honey, what I said was wrong. The way I said it was wrong, and I am so sorry. I've gotten right with God. I'm coming in here to get right with you. I said, will you please forgive me? And she said, yes, I forgive you, and it was my fault. No, she didn't say that. If I went in there to hear that from her, I went in there with the wrong heart for the wrong reason. I went in there because I wanted to be right with my wife and I wanted to be right with my God. That was my whole intent. And see, a lot of times we just want to win the argument. But that's not what God wants. He just wants things to be right with people. The Bible says in Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. You know, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, nothing's going to offend you anyway. I heard a story, a pastor friend of mine, he's passed away now, Bobby Robertson. I was with him at a meeting, and he was telling me about he and Lester Roloff were in a car together. And he said, Brother Bruce, I said something that was a little bit off color, and I thought, man, I shouldn't have said that. And he said, I looked over at Brother Roloff and said, Brother, will you please forgive me? I shouldn't have said that to you. I would never want to offend you in any way. He said, Brother Roloff looked at him, and he said, Brother, you can't offend a dead man. And see, a lot of times when we get offended, it's because we're not dead enough. That's why Paul said, I die daily. We have to die this old flesh. You know, when I got saved, my spirit was quickened and made alive, but my flesh is just as dead as it's always been, and there's always going to be that war between the spirit and the flesh, always, constantly, 24 hours a day. The Bible says in Psalm 119:165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You know, if you're bitter at somebody, do you realize that you're really bitter at God? Because what you're saying is, God, you allowed this person to hurt me. You allowed this person to slander me. You allowed this situation in my life. You allowed this, God, and you really, in your heart, you're bitter at God. Because what you're saying is, God, you could have made this not happen. Why would you let this happen to me? And see, that's what the devil wants you to think, that God's not a good God. But God is a good God, and everything he allows in your life and in my life is for our good and his glory somehow, some way. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 8, he therefore that despiseth not man, but God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, the Bible says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Wow, that's a mouthful, isn't it? I'm trying to memorize those verses, and I still get them kind of mixed up sometimes. But you know what it's saying, basically? God allows something in your life, maybe even something bad in your life here, because somewhere down the road, somebody else is going to be going through what you've already been through, and you'll be able to help them because you've been there, you've done that, you wore the T-shirt, you threw it away, however you want to say it. And God is a good God. And if he wouldn't allow you to go through that, you wouldn't be able to help that person. You wouldn't have the heart to help that person. I'll give you an illustration of this. Years ago, when I first got saved, I was living in Nashville, but I was working in Cleveland, Tennessee, going to Shenandoah Baptist Church, and they had a boys' ranch and a girls' haven. And on Tuesday nights, I would go to the boys' ranch. Now, there was a preacher there preaching one night, and after the service was over, a 16-year-old boy came up to me and said, Brother Bruce, can I talk to you? And I said, sure, buddy. And we went and sat down in a room. He started sharing his life with me. He said, me and my dad just didn't get along. We were like magnets. We rubbed each other the wrong way. We couldn't be in the same room together. And he and I just fought all the time, and that's why I'm here. And he just started crying. I started crying with him because I'm thinking, man, this kid is me. I mean, he's telling me my life. And finally, he just stopped and he said, why am I telling you all this? You have no idea how I feel. I said, I know exactly how you feel. He said, how could you know? And I told that boy some things that day I've never told anybody, but I knew that it would help him. And he got right with God that night. And he said, I'm going to go back to my bunk. I'm going to write my daddy a letter and tell him I'm sorry and ask him to forgive me. And I walked out and I looked up at the stars of heaven and I said, God, I always wondered why some of the things happened to me that happened to me when I was a kid. I didn't quite understand it. And I said, but if he's the only boy I ever help, I said, thank you, Lord, for allowing me to go through that so I could help him. You see, God always has a reason. Bitterness is like taking poison and waiting for the other person to die. How do you know if you're still bitter? You'll say things like this. I'll forgive them, but I'll never forget it. Or you'll say it like this. I don't want anything to do with them anymore. I've forgiven them, but I don't want anything to do with them anymore. Or you say it like this. Well, I forgive them, but I don't ever want to see them as long as I live. No, you're still bitter. You've not dealt with it as God wants you to. Because, see, Jesus doesn't want retaliation. He wants restoration. And this is what 1 Peter 2:23 said, who, talking about Christ, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself unto him that judges righteously. You know, Jesus said, Lord, I don't know why this is going on, but you have a purpose, you have a plan, and you are a good God. You are a good Father. I believe that. And again, Satan will cause you to believe a lie so you can justify your sin. And so you can say, I have a right to be angry. I have a right to be bitter. And you know, I could get you all to stand in a line here tonight and whisper some things in your ear that happened to me when I was a kid growing up. And I might get you to agree with me. Yes, Bruce, you have a right to be mad. You have a right to be angry. But what am I going to whisper into the ear of Jesus? Jesus, this is what they did. Oh, they beat you with an inch of your life. And this is what they said to me. Oh, they mocked you. And no matter what we go through down here is nothing compared to what Jesus Christ went through on his way to the cross and on the cross of Calvary. And we're not going to have a leg to stand on. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is an act of obedience, trusting him with the outcome, whatever it may be. Now look back at your Bibles at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31, and we'll see a progression here and the words that God uses in this passage of Scripture here. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. He starts out with the word bitterness. We've already talked about that. That's the hate. I've got some H's that I put with this. Bitterness is hate. Resentment when someone does you wrong. Then God uses the word wrath. That's the hot end, the slow burn on the inside. Then he uses the word anger, and that's when the hot comes out. It's open, and it's outward. Then he uses the word clamor. These are harmful words, vocal, loud, making known your dissatisfaction. Then God uses the words evil speaking. These are hateful words. You start saying things you don't even really mean, and you start trying to slander that person to make them look bad, and you end up making yourself look bad when you do that. And then God leaves us with the last word, which is malice. And when you get to this word, you want to hurt somebody or you want to hurt yourself. You know, a lot of people that go into these schools and shoot these people and then shoot themselves are bitter at heart. And they've never dealt with it, and it finally explodes. And it's a sad thing. In the Bible, there was a man named Ahithophel. Ahithophel was the grandfather of Bathsheba. Now, when David and Bathsheba had an adulterous affair with one another, and then David killed her husband trying to cover it up. I mean, David was a man after God's own heart, but right then he was just not right with God. When all that happened, Ahithophel was so mad at David. Instead of going to David and saying, you've done wrong, because David and Ahithophel used to go in the house of worship together. They were friends. They were brothers in Christ. But Ahithophel got so mad at him. When David's son tried to take over the kingdom, Ahithophel said, let me kill him for you. He got to the point he wanted to kill David. And he said, hey, if you'll just let me take care of it, I'll take care of it. And Absalom went a different direction, and he didn't take Ahithophel's advice. And Ahithophel, like a little kid, got mad. The Bible says he went home, put his house in order, and hung himself. And that's where bitterness will take you, to where you want to hurt yourself or you're going to hurt somebody else. It's a bad, bad thing. And then the last verse here in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, here it is, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And I don't know if you've had something happen in your life that may be horrific, but you know what? Everything you've ever done, if you become a child of God, is under the blood of Christ. He's forgiven you of every sin you've ever committed. Can you not forgive one person of one bad thing they did to you? He's forgiven us of so much. And you know, it's a wonderful thing when you get a hold of the forgiveness of God, then you can learn how to forgive other people. As I told you, I forgave my dad before I got saved, but after I got saved, I really forgave my dad because I really found out what true forgiveness was all about. Mark Twain made this statement: forgiveness is the fragrance that the flower leaves on the heel of the one who crushed it. Isn't that pretty? Some other quotes real quickly: to forgive is to set a captive free, only to discover that captive is me. Forgiveness provides a refreshing shower for the mind and spirit. The softest pillow is a clean conscience. Forgiveness is agreeing to live with the consequences of another person's sin. Bitterness does more damage where it is stored than on the person who it is poured. Bitterness never kills its intended target. Bitterness finally eats the container that it lives in. How in the world do you battle bitterness? Well, God gives us a way to do that. Confess, number one, confess your sin to God. Bitterness is a sin against a holy and righteous God. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, I love that verse. You know, as a child of God, you don't have to go to God and ask Him to forgive you. You are already forgiven. But when you sin, you need to confess that sin so He can forgive you. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. Hear what it says? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Secondly, pray for the person that has hurt you. You might say, I can't. Maybe you can't. But the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You can't do it, but you can do it through Christ. He can help you. Matthew 5:44, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Number three, if possible, go to that person and try to make things right. Now, with my dad, I couldn't go to my dad. He wouldn't talk to me, so I wrote him a letter. Maybe there's somebody you need to write a letter to. Maybe they're on the other side of the country. Maybe you can call them on the phone. It may be the person you're bitter at is dead and gone. All you can do there is to make things right with God and get your heart right so He can take that bitterness out of your heart so you don't have to live with that. And you know, a lot of times when you're angry and bitter at somebody, they have no idea. You can go to them and say, hey, I've been angry and bitter. Really? I didn't know that. He's sleeping like a baby. You're having sleepless nights. It's crazy. If possible, go to that person, Mark 11:25, and when you stand praying, forgive, ye have ought against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. And again, it's hard to battle bitterness without first tasting the forgiveness God offers through trust in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, they say you can catch a raccoon several different ways, but one way is to take a board, cut a hole in it, nail nails in it, put some bait behind it, and when the little raccoon reaches his hand through the hole, grabs the bait, when he pulls his hand out, the nails catch him like this. Now, if he was a smart raccoon, which are not that bright, he would let go of the bait and he could get his hand out. But he doesn't let go. He holds on to it. And the longer he holds on to it, the harder he pulls, the more trapped he becomes. And it's the same thing with bitterness or any other sin in your life. The longer you hold on to it, the more harder it is to let go of it. But God wants us to let go of it. There was a story about a man that went to Africa to try to win this village to Christ. And when he got there, he met this little boy who had lost his mom and dad. And so he adopted this little boy. And after he adopted him, he led him to Jesus Christ. He became a Christian. And so this this missionary was trying to teach this boy how to be a Christian young man, you know, memorizing verses, doing everything he could do to help this little kid. And one day, this little boy had made him a play sword, and it was a real sharp sword. And he was out in the yard, and he was fighting with the chickens. And when his dad saw it, he said, son, don't do that. Because if you kill one of them chickens, we're not going to have eggs for breakfast tomorrow, okay, buddy? He said, take your sword, fight with a tree, something you can't harm, okay? He said, okay, Dad. Dad went back in the hut. Guess what the little boy did? He went right back to fighting the chickens. He accidentally killed one of those chickens. And instead of going in there and telling his dad what he had done, disobeying him, he took that chicken to the edge of the woods, and he dug a hole, and he buried that chicken. Covered it up, covered up his tracks, and when he turned around, uh-oh, guess who's watching him do the whole ordeal? Not his new daddy, but the meanest man in the village. And that man looked at him and said, ha! Hey, Christian boy, what's your daddy going to think about you now?
He said, oh, please don't tell him what I've done. He'll be so disappointed in me. He said, I'm begging you. He said, I'll do anything you ask me to do, but please don't tell my dad what I've done. He said, okay, boy, I'll tell you what you do. When I wake up in the morning, as long as I have water and wood, every morning, I won't say a word. But I wake up one morning and I don't have wood and I don't have water, I'm going to march up the hill and tell your daddy what you did with that chicken. He said, you'll have wood and you'll have water. And for 2 weeks solid, that little boy toted wood and toted water and toted wood and toted water till his little heart was about to bust and he couldn't stand it anymore. And he ran into the hut and he said, Dad, remember the sword? You told me not to do it. I did it. I killed the chicken. I buried him. I tried to cover it up. The Bible says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh it shall have mercy. And once he told his dad what he had done, confessed his sin, his dad wrapped his arms around him and said, son, it's okay. I forgive you. That little boy walked out of there, weight off of his shoulders. Oh, he was so relieved. And the next day, he didn't tote any wood, and he didn't tote any water. That old mean man come up and said, hey, where's my water? Where's my wood, boy? He said, I'm not doing that anymore. He said, well, I'm going to go tell your daddy what you did with that chicken. He said, you don't have to. Already did, and I'm forgiven. And there's a lot of people toting wood and toting water they don't have to tote. Holding on to sin they don't have to hold on to, and God says, just give it to me. Would you bow your head and close your eyes tonight? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Not going to ask you for specifics or anything, but I'll ask you a question. Did God speak to your heart in this message tonight? If you say, Brother Bruce, God spoke to me in this message tonight, would you lift your hand? God bless you. God bless your hands here, there, and everywhere. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for speaking to the hearts of your children. If there's someone you need to talk to, maybe a phone call, maybe a letter, maybe a visit, whatever. Whatever you need to do to make your heart right with God and right with those people, I encourage you, do it. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, Brother Bruce, I've been holding on to some bitterness for a long, long time. But tonight, God has spoken to my heart, I want to get rid of it. And if that's you, what I want you to do right where you're sitting right now, whatever it is, I want you to make a fist and put it in your fist right now. Then I want you to hold it up in the air and say, God, here it is. I have been holding on to this for so long. I don't want to hold on to it anymore. And tonight, I give it to you. And then just open your hand. Say, God, there it is. Take this away from me. I want to be right with you, and I want to be right with people. Father God in heaven, I thank you for speaking to the hearts of your children tonight. And one more question. I'll ask this question every night. If you're sitting in this service tonight and you're not sure if you died, you go to heaven, would you let me pray for you? I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. If you just raise your hand, say, Bruce, pray for me, because if I died right now, I'm not sure. God bless you. Thank you. Anybody else? Bruce, pray for me. If I died right now, I'm not sure that I'd go to heaven. Please pray for me. I see your hand, buddy. I'm going to pray for you. Father God in heaven, Lord, I pray for this one that's raised their hand, and you see the heart behind the hand. You know the need. And I pray that during this invitation that they would come and let us open the Word of God and lead them to the one who can forgive their sin, cleanse their soul. Father, take all the hurt and the pain away. And Lord, help us to stay right with you and right with people. Lord, you give us the power to do that through your Holy Spirit, and we thank you for that. Would you stand with your head bowed and your eyes closed? And I will play a song of invitation. If God spoke to your heart tonight, you need to speak to him. Why don't you just come find you a spot at the altar? Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious song, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon, mount of thy redeemed.
raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come, and I know by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood.
I know you're at the altar tonight. This may just be between you and God. But if you need somebody to pray with you, if you're at the altar and you say, Brother Bruce, I'd like for somebody to come and talk, pray with me. Would you just raise your hand? We'll have somebody come talk with you. You need some help? We'd like to help you.
Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come, and I know by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, take and seal it for thy courts above.
Now, church, that was a tremendous revival message.
Amen.
That's what right there is what holds us back.
Yep.
Something happened to us. We just can't let it go. That was very scriptural. That was very good, very clear.
Amen.
And you know, God wants you to have revival. He wants you to. You know, when you have revival and you get those things right, and you know those things that hold things back, man. The Bible says you get the Holy Spirit. You're full of the Holy Spirit. It's the Bible says it flows from your belly like a river of water, and that's a wonderful thing when you get freedom. And I trust that you got help tonight. And just you know, if there's something you're struggling with, just let it go, let it go. Just forgive. Christ forgave you. I love that message. Very good. Very good. I appreciate that. And if anybody needs help, you know, want to talk or anything, just anytime. You just let me know. Give me a call anytime. And it could be, you know, 3 in the morning. Pastor Tyler will answer the phone. And just talk. You call anytime. Either one of us. I'm just kidding. Either one of us, you call us, and we love you. Thank you for being out here tonight. Does anybody got a word on their heart tonight? Amen. All hearts and minds clear.
Yes. Thank you, Lord, for the message tonight, and also for the message last night that the boy who said a prayer.
Yeah.
For a message.
Amen. Amen.
And also, I want to thank God. And for those who can't forgive themselves.
Yeah.
That's, you know, sometimes it's not just somebody else that you're having a hard time forgiving, but it's yourself.
It's good, Miss Vanessa. That's real good.
And so I want to plead with people also forgive themselves. If God is able to forgive you, who do you think you are?
Yeah. Good. Amen. Appreciate that. Anybody else tonight? Amen. All right. It's been good to be in the Lord's house tonight.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, let's be Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. And I'm going to ask Brother Steve, why don't you dismiss us in prayer?